May the Lord help us to commence this evening by singing hymn number 1095. 1095. Dearest of all the names above, my Jesus and my God, who can resist thy heavenly love or trifle with thy blood? Hymn 1095. Holy Word of God. We'll read together part of the Gospel according to Luke chapter 23 and part of chapter 24. So the Gospel according to Luke
chapter 23, and we'll commence reading at verse 33, and then we'll read through into chapter 24 to the end of verse 12. So Luke 23, verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding. And the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily, I say unto thee, Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour. And there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now, when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly, this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. And all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counsellor, and he was a good man and a just. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, the city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a sepulchre that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after, and beheld the sepulchre, and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments, and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. May God bless that reading from his holy word, and may he teach us how to pray. Merciful and gracious and almighty and eternal Lord God in heaven, we would come with reverence and godly fear as we come and approach unto thee, as we desire to approach a holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. As we would draw nigh unto thee by faith, and as we come now and bring our petitions before thee in prayer, we pray that thou look upon us in thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may find acceptance in the Beloved. Oh, we pray and plead his name, the name of Jesus, the sinner's only hope, that all-prevailing name, that name given among men whereby we must be saved. for there is salvation in none other. And all we do pray his merits, we plead his merits, his finished work. We plead that precious blood which did for sin atone, and pray that our poor prayers may find acceptance before thy throne in the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, for thy beloved Son, that mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Lord, what a favour it is to know something of that name and to prove the power of that name in the petitions that we put up for Jesus' sake. Lord, when thou dost grant us those requests that we make, when thou dost answer our poor prayers for Jesus' sake, how comforting, how reassuring, how confirming these things are to our most holy faith. We would seek for an increase of faith. We pray for that gift of faith to those who maybe lack faith this evening. Lord, if there are any such, we pray it might please thee to give them that gift. Oh Lord, that they may prove thee faithful to thy word, able to save to the uttermost all that cometh unto God by him. Oh, we do pray that, that thou wilt grant, Lord, that increase of faith that is given, that our faith may be in exercise. Lord, that there may be that confirming, that those precious things concerning the atonement of, and the putting away of sin may be found sweet to our souls, that we may see clearly our part, our place, our interest in these things, that all these things were done for us. So we pray that that our faith may, Lord, be increased, and that we may know that boldness in prayer, or that we may not limit the Holy One of Israel through our unbelief. But Lord, that we may be led by thy Spirit to ask for those things which are according to thy will, and in so doing know thee, whom to know is life eternal. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou grant us that personal relationship, oh, that we may know thee more and more, Lord Jesus, as we go onward in our lives. We pray, Lord, that thou remember this church and congregation and those friends who have gathered in this evening, and any that may be listening in. Lord, thou knowest. And we pray that thy blessing might rest upon this service this evening, that thou would order all things for us here this evening, that prayer might be indicted from on high, that a spirit of true worship and praise might be given, and that faith may be mixed with our hearing. We may hear to the profit of our never-dying souls. That we may go out of this place different to how we came in. That it might please thee to lift up the light of thy countenance upon us and shine into our hearts. That those, Lord, who feel out of the way, out of the secret, might be brought in might be settled and established in the things of God. Those, Lord, seeking a fresh token might be given those handfuls of purpose. Lord, we pray for those who come gleaning with an empty basket this evening. Oh, may they go away full. So, Lord, we look to Thee in all our need, in all our sin, in all our shame. We would look away from ourselves and see the Lord Jesus by faith and find in Him our every need met. Deliver us, we do pray, from the power of sin and Satan, that sin may not have dominion over us. But grant us, Lord, that liberty, that freedom of the children of God. Oh, that we may walk in the liberty that Christ has purchased with His own precious blood. Oh, that we may be freed from guilt and condemnation. Oh, that we may live as freeborn sons and daughters of a living God. Though in a body of sin, awaiting that great change, yet, Lord, may we live out our days in that sure and certain hope, knowing that all is well while life endure, and well when called to die. Do prepare us, Lord, for that great change. Prepare us for the article of death. Oh, Lord, do take us each at that time by the hand and lead us safely through the water. Lord, grant that we may not sink in death, but may we find that sure support to be safe in the arms of Jesus, to be carried, brought safely through, and to be delivered into the kingdom of God. Oh, Lord, do remember the children, the young people, that the families, Lord, we thank Thee for Thy goodness and mercy to the friends here. We thank Thee for the children and the young people. We pray, Lord, that Thou bless them while they're young in life. Do open up their young hearts to receive Thy word. Do grant them, Lord, that simplicity of faith, that they may know Thee as their Saviour and friend, that friend that sticketh closer than a brother, that loveth at all times. Lord, do bless the families, bless the parents, grant all needed help in the bringing up of children. Do guide and direct in the choices and decisions that must be made. Lord, Thou knowest the many influences there are in this difficult day that we live. But may we know Thy inward teaching, Thy Spirit's influence, that Thou wilt turn off our eyes from beholding vanity. Lord, Thou wilt grant us to hear Thy voice amongst all the noise of the world around. Oh, we do pray then that Thou wilt call out of darkness into Thy marvellous light those that are still yet dead in sin, that they may prove in time to be vessels of mercy, chosen of God and precious. We pray, Lord, that Thou wilt build up this cause of truth. Lord, that there might be many brought into gospel liberty, whose chief aim is to serve Thee, to follow Thee in all Thy commands. We pray, Lord, that Thou bless and be with the church and guide and direct them in all things. O Lord, we pray that thou pour out thy Spirit upon them. Bless them with that unity and that peace. We pray, Lord, that thou be glorified in this place, in the bringing forth of children. May there be the travailing in prayer over never-dying souls. And pray, Lord, that thou be glorified. Do remember us, Lord, in all our need, our individual pathways, Lord. Thou knowest our down-sitting and our uprising. Lord, thou knowest what this week has before us. Lord, we know not what a day nor an hour may bring forth. We may have our plans, we have those things that we have arranged, but Lord, thou knowest. And we do pray that thou wilt lead us each in that right way. Now we think of those words of the psalm, he led them forth by the right way. And Lord, often that right way is not the easy way. But the way I walk cannot be wrong if Jesus be but there. And so, Lord, we pray that we may know thee in the way, that thou make known thyself in the way, that thou will be with us in all the untrodden steps of the way, and that thou lead us in that way everlasting. Leave us not, neither forsake us. O Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit from us. Lord, do remember the one church of God throughout this land and throughout the earth. We pray that thy blessing might attend the preaching of the gospel as it's preached to the ends of the earth. And as thy word goes forth, may it go forth in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. For the Lord, thou hast declared in thy word that it shall not return unto thee void, but it shall prosper, it shall accomplish that which thou dost please, and prosper in the thing whereto thou dost send it. And so, Lord, we do pray for thy word to prosper. And we pray thy word to be made precious. Precious in our nation again. That thy word may take centre place, that we may do those things according to thy holy word as a nation, that thou bring us to fall under thy word, and Lord, that thy word may be truly blessed to those that have the rule over us. So help us, Lord, we pray. Do remember those in other parts of the world who are suffering. We think of the wars in Ukraine and in Israel. And Lord, we do pray thy peace might be known. That thou wilt put a stop to war. That thou wilt bring a lasting peace in those regions, if it be thy will. And Lord, that thou wilt remember thy people, Lord, and those that are suffering in the wars and in other parts of the world. Some are suffering for the truth's sake. Lord, we pray thy presence. Lord, that thou wilt be very present with them in their trouble. And so, Lord, we pray for each here, in the things, Lord, that come into their pathways. Lord, do sanctify and use these things for the good of never-dying souls. Do grant, Lord, that thy teaching spirit may be poured out. Lord, that thou wilt speak through thy word and through those things that arise in our day, that, Lord, we may know those things which are needful for our souls. So help us, Lord, we pray, and do put, Lord, in each of our hearts thy Spirit, that we may truly worship thee in spirit and in truth. And as we leave thy house this night, do take us onward in peace and in safety, and forgive all that is amiss in our worship this day. Pardon every sin and every failing of ours, as we ask these things for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Let us now sing hymn 1078. 1078. Dear Lord, and shall thy Spirit rest in such a wretched heart as mine, unworthy dwelling, glorious guest, favour astonishing, divine. Hymn 1078.
Thank you.
Will you turn with me to the Gospel according to Matthew in chapter 28? The Gospel according to Matthew chapter 28. And with the Lord's help this evening, I'll speak to you from the closing part of verse 6. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 28, and the closing part of verse 6. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. The whole verse reads, He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. I wonder how many this evening the death of Jesus Christ is a precious thing to you. We consider often, at least we do as we gather at the table, the sin atoning sufferings and death of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. But this evening, on my spirit to bring before you is the grave of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Lord Jesus was born that he might die. We think of his coming and the purpose of his coming. There was a life to be lived on behalf of his poor, unworthy, sinful people. A righteousness that might be imputed to them as a glorious robe of righteousness. Their souls to be washed in his precious blood, a cleansing and a clothing. But here, in considering firstly his sufferings and then ultimately the laying down of his spotless, sinless life, we have a remarkable thing. That the eternal Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, should pass through the article of death. It is a most profound thing. We wonder and we cannot fathom his coming into the world. And we stand when we consider his life, we stand and we look upon in wonder and amazement at the perfect obedience and the spotless life of Christ and how he lived it in the place of his people. For them he lived it, to make peace and reconciliation to God, to live a life that was acceptable according to the holy law of God. And we stand amazed as we trace it out, and I hope you do, and I pray you'll go on to and consider his footsteps as he lived his life. and as he went about doing good against all the opposition and the insults, and how many overlooked him and would have nothing to do with him and rejected him and despised him, and yet the spotless life, without sin, his actions, his words, his thoughts, everything pure and holy. And these things are most precious. And then we have the events, the betrayal of Judas, and then we have those sufferings, first in the garden and then what took place in the judgment hall and then at Calvary. Oh, and we see, don't we, that the humility and the greater love hath no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. And this is what we consider this evening. He cried out, "It is finished." He said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And he gave up the ghost. And in our reading in Luke's Gospel, we have that well-known account of the two thieves. And the one who died in his sin, railing on the Saviour of sinners, and the other who by a stupendous act of love and grace of God was brought out of that darkness of sin for his whole lifetime and plucked as a brand from the burning at the very last moments of his life, brought into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, brought to look to him in all his own personal need as a failed sinner. And he looked to the Lord and he cast himself on the mercy of Jesus. And he asked the Lord to remember him when he came into his kingdom. And in all the sufferings and in all the agony and the barbaric death of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love and the compassion and the concern that he showed for this wretched sinner, because he was loved with an everlasting love, and he was drawn by love to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Verily, surely, certainly, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." And when the work of atonement was completed, and when every sin, the punishment of every sin of his poor, unworthy, sinful people had been suffered on behalf of them, when there was nothing left, not a single fault or error to be paid, when everything was complete, and not till then did he declare it to be so. Not till then did he declare it to be so. And he gave up the ghost. And he entered into death. You know, I thought of those two hanging, one either side of the Lord Jesus, suffering themselves in great agony. You know what? What faith? What faith to watch and to look upon the Lord Jesus? What faith was given? You know, that dying thief who had heard the good news. You know, he was outwardly suffering intense agony and pain. You know, it is the most agonizing death, crucifixion. It's barbaric. It's reserved for the very worst. It is a most agonizing, excruciating death. And in all his intense sufferings, you know, that dying thief who had heard that good news outwardly was in pain, outwardly was suffering, outwardly was in great anguish. Inwardly, a great peace. Outwardly, distress. Inwardly, joy and peace. No happiness on the outside. Everything that was happening to him was really testifying of his wickedness. He was being punished. His death was a punishment. It was the ultimate punishment. He was being put to death because of how wicked his behaviour had been. But inwardly, the words of our Lord Jesus brought peace, brought hope, brought joy. Today, when this is over, when it's over for you, you will be with me in paradise. And he watched on as the Lord Jesus died. And you know, as that good shepherd, you know, Jesus even went before him. He went before him. He went to make a way for him. He passed through the article of death, literally moments before him. You see, when they came to Jesus to break his legs, that his life might be brought to an end, he was dead already. And they break not his legs. The Lord Jesus had gone on before. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He'd gone on before. And dear friends, in this sense, he's gone on before every one of his poor, unworthy children. And so we have then Joseph of Arimathea and John in his gospel, who makes record of Nicodemus coming to the Lord Jesus by night in John 3. John also mentions Nicodemus again. And these two, Joseph of Arimathea, and as we've read this evening, a good man, member of the Sanhedrin, a counsellor, a good man, but not being brought out from among them. An inward change He was a good man and a just. He had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. And Nicodemus, who came by night, well, both came. And both were affected by the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder if you and I have known something of the same effect. Dying love. Oh, there's a reticence. There's almost a reluctance. This fear, this trepidation. Oh, the heart's made soft. The heart's been touched by grace. But there's still so much that hinders. Well, if there are those this evening who are, as it were, secret disciples, oh, I pray the Lord will bring you to that same place. This scene of matchless grace, Jesus in the sinner's place, it had an effect on Joseph, had an effect on Nicodemus. I love that, verse 52 of Luke 23. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Oh, what a sweet word that is. And you know, friends, oh, may you in like manner go and beg the body of Jesus, that you, by faith, might do in love. Join with these two, and you might do in love what they did for their Saviour. They took that body, they wrapped it. We're told 100 pounds of aloe and myrrh, a great amount, that they might, oh, a clear demonstration, an outpouring of love and grief and sympathy and sorrow. And Joseph, his own tomb, he's had it hewn out of a rock, and he gives it. Oh, it's the resting place of the mortal remains of the Saviour of sinners. What a sacred place. What a precious place, the grave of our Lord Jesus Christ. He took it down, he wrapped it in linen, and he laid it in a sepulchre that was hewn in a stone, wherein never man was laid. And we have it in John's Gospel. He writes in the 19th chapter, and after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews. You know, those of you secret disciples this evening, God knows. He does care. He does love you. Your secret love. Oh, may he pour into your soul that love that must bring you forth. Being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, is now no longer in fear. Oh, Jesus has set him free. Oh, the death of Christ has broken the snare. There's no fear in his heart now. I will not fear what man will do unto me. I've seen the putting away of my sin. I've seen the cost. I've seen the shedding of blood. I've seen the Lamb of God taking away my whole world of sin. And the sin of the world, I have seen the King in his beauty. And it's that perfect love. And it's cast out the fear. Jesus loves me. Oh, then all must be well. I will not fear what man will do unto me. Besought Pilate he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body, and there came also and also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night. But now what a difference. He brings the 100-pound weight of a mixture of myrrh and aloes. He can't do enough. And he's not no longer in secret. It's openly. He's declaring plainly. Not ashamed of Jesus. Not ashamed of this despised one hanging on a tree. But valuing it, esteeming it a privilege, an honour, to honour the body of Jesus. And he takes it. They take the body and they wound it in linen clothes with the spices. And there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre wherein never man was laid. And there they laid Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, a grave. You know, this was spoken of by Isaiah the prophet in that well-known chapter 53, which speaks of the sufferings of the Messiah. We have in verse 8, he was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. He was to pass through death. He was to taste death for every man. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And God had appointed it. It was predetermined that Christ must suffer and bleed and die. It's a complete salvation. It is a complete deliverance. He is a complete saviour. Nothing is left undone. All that was given him to do was done, was finished. And he made his grave with the wicked. And and with the rich in his death. Oh, he went down to the depths of death, walking through the waters of death. Who would have thought it? Who could conceive in their mind that God, the Son of God, would suffer, bleed and die? But a holy human body and soul was taken into union with his divine nature for that specific purpose, that he might know death. He might walk through death. He might destroy the power of death, which is sin. He might conquer it. He might pass, as it were, through it for and on behalf of his people, and as a breaker making a way through. So he went before. He went before. Oh, that the mortal remains are laid in the grave. And if you and I are not alive at the second coming of the Lord Jesus, we too will all lie in the grave. We will all pass through the article of death. We must go down into death. And I wonder, dear friends, if that is a concern to you and to me. We read in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 27, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children, this is verse 26, and his children have a place of refuge. Verse 27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. Verse 32, the wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death. Death. It's a solemn subject. The grave of our Lord Jesus Christ is solemn. It has a voice. It speaks this evening. It's spoken ever since our Lord Jesus was laid in it, and it will speak to the end of time. And this word this evening is a word to you and I. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. It speaks to the believer. And what does it speak to the believer? He is not here. He is risen. It speaks the empty tomb. It speaks to the believer. And what sounds aloud from the grave of our Lord Jesus Christ is victory. Is victory. That which the Lord declared was finished, the empty tomb ratifies it, seals it. It is the voice of God speaking from that empty tomb. The acceptable sacrifice has been received. There is nothing left to pay. The church is free, set free. And it speaks of that victory. It speaks loud and it speaks clear. Does it speak to you? Does it mean anything to you? An empty tomb? You know, it spoke that resurrection morning, didn't it? Oh, what an effect. We read it in our reading. The disciples, the 11, the women who had seen the empty tomb, oh, they came and told them. And oh, did it have an effect on them? Their words seemed as idle tales, we read it. But oh, what a difference when Peter goes. Oh, their words seemed as idle tales to them, as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, come. Oh, you see, that there's a voice that speaks to the doubting, to the unbelieving. You say, I can't believe it. What? Victory? Triumph over death? The destroying and the putting away of death for the believer? I can't believe it. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. He's not there anymore. And Peter's drawn by it. The idle tales or not, he must see for himself. And he ventures to see. Stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Oh, the empty tomb. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves and edify one another, even as also ye do. Paul writing to the Thessalonians in that first epistle, and that's in chapter 5. In chapter 4, we read this, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. You see, the empty tomb, his resurrection, speaks of the rising of the church of God. It declares plainly to the eye of faith that there is peace with God for the believer, that all is put away, that they're bound up in the bundle of life with the Lord their God, their Saviour Jesus Christ. He lived for them, he died for them, he was laid in the tomb for them, and his body reunited with his soul on that third day rose for them. A clear and unmistakable sign that they rose with him. And Paul declares it to be so. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep, whose mortal remains are lying in the tomb, and whose souls are dwelling in paradise until the second coming. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And there's a reuniting of soul and body, and that body is raised immortal and incorruptible. And that reuniting of soul and body forever and ever and ever. Then we which are alive and remain, because some will be alive and will not have passed through the article of death, because they are alive at his coming. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, a united body, one church, triumphant, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Friends, there's a voice that speaks from the empty tomb. And for the believer, it is safety, it is peace, it is pardon, it is eternal life. Oh, it is a finished work that is declared. It is the good news of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is everything. And the believer has it all. And there's none like them. And it's no wonder that even sinful Barak would look on and say, "Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my end be like his." It's no wonder, because he saw something of it, though he had no part of it himself. "Let me die the death of the righteous, let my end be like his." Because it's peace. It's peace. It's everlasting peace. But friends, there's a voice that speaks, and it speaks to all, believer and unbeliever. And is there any this evening who say there is no God, who say there is no hereafter, who say there is nothing? Well, that empty tomb, friends, it speaks to you this evening. And may you hear that voice. There is a hereafter. Oh, the Lord Jesus has passed as the first fruits. You know, when he lay down his life, and there's a disuniting of soul and body, oh, there was that reuniting. He passed through the article of death, and his soul returned to body, and he rose again the third day. The first fruits of a great harvest, and Christ the first fruits of it. If you like, he was judged by God, and all was perfect. And rising he did triumphant. And all that sleep in Jesus await that second coming, when God will judge the earth. Those that sleep in Jesus were found in Jesus and seen in Christ Jesus. Sins are put away, their souls are bound up with his. They're forever safe. That voice that speaks to the unbeliever, the empty tomb speaks of that judgment day. It speaks of a reuniting of soul and body. And what about you when your soul and body are reunited? You know, what about you and me at death? Will it be, today thou shalt be with me in paradise? Or will your soul be disunited from your mortal remains and be taken to that place of eternal punishment, awaiting that great and second coming of the Saviour? For when a mortal, immortal body will be given, and then to be banished forever and ever to hell and to the horrors of it, where God is not and all is pain and misery. Oh, friends, what an awesome thing. What a voice that speaks. Oh, there are some, a great number that no man can number, who for them the grave is a precious thing. It's made precious. It's revealed to them. And it's their seal. It's that final stamp on their eternal safety and security. What does it speak to you? Does it speak? Well, may the Lord in his mercy speak this word to you this evening. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. Those of you who fear, I thought of that hymn 938, shall such a worthless worm as I, who sometimes am afraid to die, be found at thy right hand? Are there a few this evening, and this is your concern? Am I ready? Am I ready? Am I ready to close my eyes on all that I've known and launch into that which I've not known? Am I ready for death? Am I ready? Those of you who look at that day, and still it's, oh, there's some fear. It doesn't feel to be as clear as you hope it would. Well, may the Lord apply this word to you this evening. Come and see. Come and see. Oh, then you'll go away and ponder. Then you'll have those things to think on. Then you'll know, without doubt, when the Lord applies the preciousness, the sweet savour, it won't be the aloe and the myrrh that perfumes and takes away the stench and the rottenness of death for you. Not that there was with him. There's no decaying of his body. But, you know, there's bitterness in death. There's fear, there's horrors. But the grave of our Lord Jesus, what a sweet perfume. And that same sweet perfume is a fragrance of every deathbed of a believer and every grave of a believer is perfumed with the same sweet fragrance of peace and joy and hope. The love of God, it sweetly perfumes the merits of Jesus, the precious, precious Saviour. Oh, may we, by faith, come see the place where the Lord lay. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Parish is again expected to preach on Tuesday evening. And next Lord's Day there'll be a reading service in the morning, and Mr. Hadley is expected to preach in the evening and administer the Lord's Supper. And our Oakington friends hold a TBS meeting on Wednesday evening. and Ben Staten hold a prayer meeting for the nation on Friday evening. Let us close with hymn 1055. 1055. Come, ye souls by sin afflicted, bowed with fruitless sorrow down, by the broken law convicted, through the cross behold the crown. Look to Jesus, mercy flows through him alone. Hymn 1055.
may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.